Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. A fisherman was selling a fish, making a halal livelihood. The police officer came around and he saw this is a wonderful fish, mussel cracker, tasty, and the head will be even tastier. His temptation had the better over him, and what was to be sold for 400 rands, he offered 10 rands. The fisherman pleaded, "This is my livelihood. My household, my children live out of this. I can make a clean 400 out of this, and you're offering me 10 rands. What must I do with this?" Police officer whooped him, so just give me the fish. And further, you carry it, deliver it to my house. So the mazloom, the one that is oppressed, is about the third person whose du'as get accepted readily. One is a just ruler, one is the father for his children, provided the father is right. If he's wrong, you mustn't expect his du'as to get accepted. And the third person being the oppressed. So the ruler and people that are in authority, they are supposed to bring systems. They're supposed to see that there's fairness and justice prevailing. But if they themselves are corrupt, then what hope has the public got? No hope. Because if there was a problem or a difficulty, then I will take it to some authority. But the authority himself is corrupt. Now, what do I do? The only resort is to Allah Ta'ala. The du'as are also answered when you are in that frame of mind. Frame of mind of constraint. Frame of mind that there's no other refuge. La malja minka illa ilayk. There's no refuge. I can't get to anyone. And with that frame of mind, you're asking Allah Ta'ala, then du'as get answered very quickly. But the fisherman got no other resort, no other avenue to turn to, so he turns to Allah Ta'ala. In the meanwhile, the fisherman made the du'a and he's gone to sleep. Children are hungry. Whatever du'a came out of their tongue at that time, by the morning, this police officer had a severe pain on the finger. Showed it to the doctor. Whilst you were cleaning the fish, some corn had got in and the gangrene has set in already. There's no other way but to amputate the finger. Anyway, saving the hand is more important than just one finger. So he let that finger go. And before he knew it, the gangrene had spread. And the second finger is already poisoned, gangrene spreading. Third finger. Now, it's about moving to the palm, and just then Allah Pak showed him through a dream that until when will you allow your entire arm to be eaten up? Go and settle your problem with the fisherman. That fisherman is eating your entire hand out. You go and settle it with him. See, at the time of power and at the time of affluence, power, strength, might, we become a little bit drunken. And we think might is right. We think wealth is everything. Might is right. I got the might, I can talk. I got the muscle, I can speak. I can stand for myself. So this is how our minds think. We think like that. For that moment, we forget that there is some control above the might. Above your might, above your wealth, above your influence, there is someone above. For that moment, we forget about that. And then his tear has to reach Allah Ta'ala. And then he can just turn things around. So in all his pride, in his arrogance, he's thinking about whether I must allow that entire hand to go or just humble myself and ask him for a maaf and just return that 400 rands. So he went with 1,000 rands, instead of 400 rands, go the 1,000 rand, at least he'll make me maaf and he'll make dua for me. So he went, humbly cried at the house of the fisherman. That's a poor person, he's in high official police. He cried at him. That man felt sorry for him. By the morning he goes to the doctor, everything's cleared up. See, there's a control above all our wealth, our influence, our affluence, everything else. There is some supreme control. And sometimes it happens that in that the drunkenness of that wealth, drunkenness of strength and might, we begin to feel that there is no power and there is no authority above. Islam is a religion of peace, love and compassion. You just enter the home, then you enter with salam. Smile, you enter with salam. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would often, very often, or in fact all the time, he would brush his teeth. So, a message of sweetness. I'm sweet, talk with good words. You can be sweet with the whole world, can't we be sweet to our whole household? We have a problem, and the women also have a problem. The problem we have is, we're sweet with the entire world. And especially if it's a woman and a stranger on the other end, it'll become even more sweet. But that sweetness is for others, not for the household. And many women have it, most women have a problem, that they dress up smartly for the entire world to admire, but not for the husband. Husband, any dirty rag, they'll just wear that thing and sleep, right? But for the entire world, they'll really dress it up. Dress up, the hairstyle, everything, the cream, shampoo, everything will go. Attar and whatever, shampoo and whatever, everything will go for the world. Going out today, for a walima, I must be dressed up. I can't wear the same trousers, the same suit now, I must change. What they'll think? The shoes here now, it's worn out, I must wear something else. So the dressing is done for the world to admire, but not for the person that is contributing towards all this thing here. Not the one that is purchasing all this thing, but for the people that are not giving you anything, no support, everything is done for them. So we go off in showing sweetness to outsiders, and they go off, how they go off, is they dress up and doll up for others to admire, not their own husbands. See the injustice, the gross injustice. We are supposed to be sweetest towards them. أَنَا خَيْرُكُمْ لِأَهْلِي. The best of you is the one that is best to his household. And I am the best towards my household. Nabi Sam did not say all this to boast, but to show that if you love me, then this is my lifestyle, this is my way. And if you are saying that I do love Nabi Sam, then you want to be following him, you want to be emulating him. And when I am the best with my household, then you need to be the best as well. So you will not speak of anything that will hurt them. Every now and then, say, oh, I'm going to think of another wife. Is that the right thing to do? Keep them on the edge. This type of questions are coming in all the time. Sometimes telephonically, sometimes they ask through the email. I don't know where these stupid husbands get this type of brains. You know, if you don't do this, then count it as a divorce. You don't do this, count it as a divorce. If you go this place, you count it as a divorce. Then after everything is said and done, now they're feeling, hey, what am I going to do without this woman? How am I going to live? I've got some children. Oh, I've got a very thick understanding with her. And now I've already mentioned these words here now. What do I do? And it's becoming a more and a more common thing. See, in that state of strength and might, you want to boast. And then Allah Ta'ala will squeeze you. You don't realize it. You're squeezing someone else, Allah Ta'ala will squeeze you. Today Allah Ta'ala kept you in a position of might and strength. And then in that might and strength, you are squeezing someone else. Then don't you know, Allah yazunnu annahum mab'uthun, that there is someone above you. You're going to stand up before him. Don't you realize that? See, there are two things that have been deleted from the mind in this day. One is the consciousness of Allah Ta'ala. And the second is, Allah yazunnu ulaika annahum mab'uthun. Don't you think that you'll have to stand up before Allah Ta'ala, give a detailed account of all what you have done. From the time that you know yourself, till the time that you left the world, you have to give a detailed report, detailed account. So this is the point of decline. This is the point of failure. And this is proven in several verses of the Quran Sharif. See, I think I was counting about 20 surahs of the Quran Sharif have started off just with Qiyamat. Al-Haqqatu Mal-Haqqa. Al-Qari'atu Mal-Qari'a. Right? Wal-Nazi'ati Gharqa. Speaking about the first encounter of Qiyamah, that is death, right? La uqsimu bi yawmi al-qiyamah. Right? So you go and count, you get about Iza zulzilatil ardu zilzalha. Iza shamsu kuvirat. Iza sama'un fatarat. What is it counting about? What is it talking about? Qiyamah. Ara'ayta alladhi yukadhibu bid-deen. Allah is identifying where's your problem, where it starts from. Where it starts from is Ara'ayta alladhi yukadhibu bid-deen. He doesn't believe in the hereafter. Or he doesn't believe in the hereafter in the way he's supposed to be believing. It's just a thought somewhere lingering in his mind. It's not a genuine belief. He doesn't have that sound belief about the Qiyamah. So everything will fall. Everything will collapse in his life. So that is why Ara'ayta alladhi yukadhibu bid-deen fadhalika alladhi yad'u al-yateem وَلَا يَحُدُّ وَلَا طَعَامِ الْمِسْكِينَ فَوَيْلُ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ. So the one end, he won't be good towards people. يَدُعُ الْيَتِيمِ وَلَا يَحُدُّ. He won't show the kindness, he won't show love, he won't show compassion and fairness towards people. فَوَيْلُ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ. And he will not be good towards Allah Ta'ala also. The rights of Allah Ta'ala he will trample, the rights of people he will trample. Both will destroy. Why? What is the starting point? What is the catalyst? That he doesn't believe in the hereafter as he's supposed to be believing. At least if we had that type of belief of the day of Qiyamah, that belief and that type of concern, if someone tips you off, if the stars is after you, you know, you got the 10 million under your mattress, so someone gave the game up and the stars are after you. So just be careful about your phones and whatever else, just be careful. Right. Now I ask you, that when you've just been tipped off like this, maybe it's a hoax, right? Someone is playing a prank with you. I ask you, will you speak randomly on the phone? Will you speak very casually on the phone? Every second you'll think, hey, I don't know what message is being taped. I'm being taped here. My phones are tapped. So I don't know what's going to be recorded, what they're going to talk about. So I need to be very, very careful. If that level of consciousness we had about the Kiram and Katibin that are recording all the time, here it's a possibility that they will record. It's a possibility that they get the message. It's a possibility that they will get confused. They won't know what you're talking about. Because you're talking of one dig, I'm supplying. One box of chocolates I'm sending across. Eh? So maybe they don't understand the code, right? But can you conceal this information from the malaika? Can you conceal this information from Allah Ta'ala? So you see where the problem starts. Allah is identifying the problem. Alladhi yukadhibu bid-deen. You don't have the concept of qiyamah. You don't have the concept of deen. Dinnahum kama dan. Right? We treated them like how they treated us. We punished them like how they persecuted us. So this persecution, deen, the day of judgment, the day of remuneration. This deen, right? So if we had that belief that everything goes straight, the rights of people will go straight, the rights of Allah Ta'ala will go straight. But when we don't believe in it, or we don't believe in it like how we're supposed to be believing in it, then nothing in life will go right. I told one person just a few days back, he started crying, came here for some work, whatever, whatever. So he speaks about him aborting his child. He aborted the child already and he came. So I told that's a very glossified way of murdering the child. Isn't it? Is murdering, is that not murder? I ask you, aborting a child, is that murder or not? It's murder, obviously, but just that it's a beautiful term. The law is in agreement that you can abort whatever time, but you got some reason and you abort the child, it's all right. So the law, you got a legal cover. And the greatest concern you have got is the law. Say, for example, the child was born and Down syndrome, it was born, right? Now, you will never kill the child. Why you won't kill the child? You won't kill the child because you're afraid of the law. But do you have the same concern of Allah Ta'ala that Allah Ta'ala is recording? Here you feel, no, it's all right. Chalti ki naam gari. It can move, it can work. I can just turn things around. But do you have the concern of Allah Ta'ala as you have the concern of the law? Do you have the concern of the recording angels as you have the concern of people? So I asked the person, all right, one is you have murdered the child, right? And on the day of Qiyamah, Allah Pak says, وَإِذَا الْمَوْءُودَةُ سُئِلَتْ بِأَيِّ ذَنْبٍ قُتِلَتْ. The child that you are killed, whether by burying alive or any other way. Those days they were not so advanced, so they didn't know how to do it in a very sophisticated way. You know, Akbar Ilahabadi or Allama Iqbal, he gave in his poetry, says it's an irony of time that Fir'aun did not know the destruction of a university. He didn't know about it. He didn't discover what destruction a university can cause. Otherwise, he wouldn't have had to go through the trouble of slaughtering infant children. See the destruction it brings about. Now, he is talking about all these type of things 100 years ago. When people were much more civil, there was some education still. People had some values. But he saw the destruction that he can cause. What he says, the poet says, now he's got not a very committed Muslim. But what he says, it's a pity that Fir'aun did not discover the destruction of a university, a high school and a college. He didn't understand that. Had he discovered that, he didn't have to go through the pain of slaughtering children. He would have just got the high schools, universities, get everybody there and jam them up. You have destroyed generations and generations. So the starting point is this: أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يُكَذِّبُ بِالدِّينِ. We read the verse, we listen to the translation, we listen to the bayan that they are kiraman katibin, they are recording everything. But do we behave like this? From the time you got up, right? From the time you got up till now, did you, any one of us think that this kiraman katibin, writing down, they are recording already everything what you're saying? Mayalfizu min qawlin illa ladayhi raqibun atid. Just one word. And they are ready to record. Raqibun atid. Atid means they're ready. And they're just waiting. Raqibun, they're waiting. You saying a word, oh, they got it in record. So you see, Saaz is still behind time. These people are with you. Saaz will only get you on a phone. They will get you at any time. Any time they'll get you. Any place, any time, anywhere. I try and see this child will get him on the day of Qiyamah. And he will be asked, Allah Pak will ask him, بِأَيِّ ذَنْبٍ قُتِلَتْ. What was your crime? And the child would cry to Allah Ta'ala, the infant child that you murdered, will cry to Allah Ta'ala, oh Allah Ta'ala, but why did my parents didn't give me opportunity to live? Like how their parents gave them an opportunity to live, why they deprive me of an opportunity to live? An opportunity of life he had deprived me of. Allah Pak asked my parents why they deprived me. I ask you, the man was in tears. He couldn't control himself. Now this can only happen if you believe that there is a thing like Qiyamah. There is a genuine thing like Qiyamah. But if you don't believe in Qiyamah, it's a possibility, it may happen, it's a jackpot, I don't know, it's true, not true, whatever. You have that type of a concocted and a rotten mind, then there is no solution. But if it's a straight, clean mind, one verse of the Quran Sharif is sufficient. So Islam is a religion of peace. Nabi Sallam himself teach peace. First things that he's been teaching, afshu salam. Talk about salam. Make salam to the person. The first thing is coming into Madina Sharif, first thing. Smiling face, peace. Extending the invitation of peace, the greeting of peace. And what is salam? Anta aminum mine. Remember, you will be safe. In my presence, you are safe. You won't have any emotional abuse, no verbal abuse, no physical abuse. I won't hurt you. So you giving him your assurance that he's salam. Now when you give the person your assurance in the next sentence and you're swearing him, that means you don't know what is salam. Or if you know what is salam, you're not reflecting over the meaning of salam. Just like you say salam and straight away you start swearing the person and taking off with the person and hurting him. And then you want barakat in your life, in your wealth. All these people that are working for you, they are cursing you. Allah Pak, you must never come out. Allah Pak, you strangle him. Then he can't get out of his business. You strangle him. Choke him, Allah Pak. Get more and more money, but he must get more strangled. He can't come out of it. So these people's curses are coming on you. You think I'm making the millions, right? But their curse is getting you, that you're getting more and more choked. More and more choked. You can't come out of the whole thing. And you think, no, I'm getting the barakat, Allah is helping me. But don't you realize that you're getting more and more choked, more and more trapped into it. And this trap is coming because of some misdemeanor of yours, some wrong of yours. But someone told me that misdemeanor is a sagira guna, small guna. So the translation is wrong. So must look for another word. Huh? Misdemeanor is a small guna. Perhaps must look for some other word. For a big sin, vice maybe. Eh? Vice is, I suppose, a bigger thing, right? No mind, you get some people who look at the finer things of life, so they can correct us all the time. Right? So that was the first message. In the four words. Three messages are about peace. Afshu salam, at'imut ta'am, wasilul arham. Right? Salam. Make salam. Going home, make salam. Loudly, make salam loudly. The whole house must echo. You're leaving the home again, salam. Loudly, make salam. And make it clear. Assalamu alaikum. Make it clear. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Now, you're bringing peace, you're bringing happiness in the whole house. Your salam is echoing in the whole house. What a beautiful thing. Your child is coming, he's learning from you. Assalamu alaikum. You're just waiting for the child to say that. How good you feel at that time. The family is coming, she's making salam, right? Or at the family, you don't expect them to say it so loudly. Naturally, they feel a bit ashamed, right? They can't speak so loudly as you will speak. But you can speak, your child can speak, your children can speak. They're meeting a Muslim, wherever it is, whatever crowd it is, they don't feel ashamed to say assalamu alaikum. Why should we feel ashamed? That kafir doesn't feel ashamed of saying good morning. Does he feel ashamed? Then you Musliman hokar ke tumhe sharmindagi aati hai. He doesn't feel ashamed. They say good morning, good afternoon, high, low. He doesn't feel ashamed. Whereas that high, low is a meaningless word. If you think about it, it's a meaning. What do you mean high? Or drug high ke kunsa high hai? What do you mean? You say high. It's a meaningless word. And salam is such a meaningful, such a powerful word. You're deleting the salam, you'd feel ashamed to say salam. But high and low, you prepare to say it. But you meet a Muslim, one Muslim, amongst 500 kuffars, the same, assalamu alaikum. I'm proud about my Nabi. And inshallah, to the best of my ability, I won't let him down. Now imagine if Nabi Sam was present there, and you left Nabi Sam, you left assalamu alaikum, he said hi. But you left me for these stupid people here. For these type of people. You left me. You left me down. You betrayed me. How would Nabi Sam would have felt? Imagine this, he was there around that time. And you greeted them in high and low. And you left out Nabi Sam at that time. And he's present around at that time. How would he have felt? But I don't feel ashamed. See, assalamu alaikum. And a little bit of a reflection, what salam is, what it's conveying, the message that it's conveying, reflect. Anta aminum minni. By you are with me. No harm. Physical, verbal, mental, emotional, no abuse. Think about what you are saying. You're giving him a dua. So you're giving him an assurance. And then in the next breath again, you are going against your word. Then isn't that a sign of a munafiq? إذا حدث كذب. When he talks, he speaks a lie. إذا وعد أخلف. When he makes an assurance and a promise, then he goes against it. Now, on the one side, you say, no, I'm a Muslim and everything else. But your spirit is giving you off. So how do you expect the barakat of Allah Ta'ala to come? When you got so many people's curses with you, do you still feel that you will get that barakat of Allah Ta'ala? But it's not about the abundance. It's about you doing it correctly. Don't worry about the abundance, about the abundance of people, following, popularity, or wealth. Don't worry about it. Have you done it right? In the time of Umar radiallahu anhu, a very, very popular, very wealthy king, Jibrillah, he accepted Islam. Very popular. Gold and silver, diamonds, he, you name it and he had it. He had it. Very popular person, very powerful, mighty. Billions of people he's ruling over. He's a king. Oh, he's a Christian king, such a big, vast kingdom he's got, and he's accepted Islam. Right. So, imagine now, just imagine for a moment, right, if Germany accepted Islam, right, that become the state religion, how great don't we feel? Or France accepted Islam, right, from the level of the state now, and they're practicing Islam, right, they're practicing Islam, so how strengthened don't we feel? How proud don't we feel? How confident don't we feel? Hey, mashallah, at least these people's eyes are opening now. This thing will spread from one country to the other country. And how great don't we feel like that? Now with all this, this Jabalah, he accepted Islam and then coming in for Hajj. Thousands of his escort and entourage and all that, they're coming in for Hajj. Hajj period, Hajj season is crowded. Nobody gets a VIP treatment. Right? You're one of the crowd. Now you're only getting a VIP treatment if you are a diplomat or something. They will empty the haram. But before, previously, nobody gets a VIP treatment. You just join the crowd. Now he's in his ihram and he's making tawaf of the Baytullah. And whilst he's making tawaf, one birdman, villager now, absolutely you can see from his face, he's nothing. No status, no social status at all. And he somehow he just bumped onto this Jibrillah, and bumping onto him, and his shoe fell on the bottom gear of Jibrillah. When the shoe landed on the bottom gear of the Jibrillah, his body got exposed. Oh, I'm such a mighty king, such a powerful person, such a respected person, such a lovable person, and I have to go through this embarrassment at the hand of this villager, this stupid person, got no standing. And he's caused this embarrassment for me. So his pride had the better over him. And he slapped him hard, right? Now this poor person, now he's thinking, now, what recourse do I have? He went straight to Umar radiallahu anhu. This is the thing that has happened, this is the time, this is the person. So in an Islamic procedure, everybody got equal rights. Whether it's a king, whether it is the weakest of the entire community, your rights are identical. Imam Yusuf Rahmatullah Ali, he's on his deathbed. Right? He's on his deathbed. And said, Alhamdulillah, I've been the Qazi al-Quzad, the head of all the Qazis in the Islamic Republic. At that time, Islamic Republic was from Mecca right till Afghanistan and right till Russia, etc. You can imagine how well it spread out, right? Millions and millions of people into Islam. So Imam Yusuf Ahmad says that I don't have any regrets for anything. Alhamdulillah, whatever I presided over, I know I did justice. I presided with justice. Just one thing I am a little bit apprehensive of. And he cried. And the matter that I'm apprehensive of is on one occasion, a non-Muslim had a complaint against Harun al-Rashid. Harun al-Rashid is a very dynamic, powerful person. We hear of his name, right? Dynamic person. He had a complaint about Harun al-Rashid. Now it's a non-Muslim, no status at all, poor as ever. And he's got a complaint against Harun al-Rashid, the king of the time. Right? So Harun al-Rashid was called. On the one side is this peasant, this, like I would say, a toga boy, casual labor on one side, and on the other end, the king of the time. He's a complainant, and this person is a defendant, right? He's called. He says, on that occasion, I made some additional ikram for Harun al-Rashid. Right? I kept him on one end, and I showed a little more respect in the seating, not in the case. In the case, they were equal, identical. But just in the seating, because he's the king, I seated him a little bit in a more respectable manner. Whereas we are commanded that the claimant and the defendant, you treat them identically. If you seat him at one place, you must seat him equally, seat the defendant also at the same position. No change, no difference. And on that day, although I presided with justice, but I seated the king in a more respectable manner than I seated this ordinary peasant or this casual labor. And I'm afraid about that, that Allah Ta'ala will hold me to account for that. This whole system is cracking because we feel that the authority in charge, the official in charge, he is not doing his part of justice. But did we ever think within ourselves that the amount of justice that I could do within my capacity, am I doing it? I'm quick to point out to the next person that he's not doing it and the law is all corrupt and this person is doing this, right? But within my capacity, within my authority, within my reach, am I implementing justice? Am I doing justice? And if I'm doing justice, I will do it when it's convenient to me. When it's not convenient to me, am I doing justice? كونوا قوامين بالقسط ولو على أنفسكم أو الوالدين والأقربين. So I will do it when it's convenient for me. I will do it when it's not against any of my advantage. It's not against my advantage. I will do it. But if it's against my advantage, then I'm not going to do it. I got a thick relationship with you. Business relationship. Good business relationship we've got. Good old friend we are, right? Good old friends. Doing very good business. We've got a very sound relationship. And now the friend has done something that is unjust or unjust, right? The Quran is saying, stand out for justice, even though it's against your own self, your own interest, your friend, and even if it is against your own parents, but do justice. That's the command of the Quran. At that time, are we going to tilt the scale or not? Tilt the balance or not? At that time, how am I going to look at it? You know, the normal person, average, even pious person, how will think, you know, we've got a long-standing relationship. I'm going to say this, I'll just break the relationship, or sever relationship. What about the severance of relationship? This is how I will think. But did you consider at that time, what about you severing the relationship with Allah Ta'ala? Allah Ta'ala is saying, كُونُوا قَوَّامِينَ بِالْقِسْطِ وَلَوْ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِكُمْ. You consider the fact that my relationship with this person will be severed, but did you consider the fact that your relationship with Allah Ta'ala has snapped, that He's commanding you stand out for justice? And see the word that Allah Ta'ala has used, كُونُوا قَوَّامِينَ, a superlative degree, مُبَالَغَة. Stand out firmly for justice at any time, any place, any person, at all times, not only at the time that it's convenient to you. Then when it's convenient to you, then you're talking about justice. Not to your convenience. No, it's all right. One of those things now. I'm not the only Muslim around you. The other people must also talk about it. According to your capacity, according to your means, according to your strength and ability, are you practicing justice? You are in a position of authority and strength, right? So you abused someone, you insulted someone. If that same insult were turned around on you, would you accept it? But you feel you got the right because I am in a position of authority to insult and disgrace. I am paying the person. So as though the person has sold me his integrity and respect. That's the mind, you see. So I can talk to him, I can insult him, I can humiliate him like I want to. But if that was the case, does he have the right also to humiliate you, disgrace you, and insult you like how you have insulted him? Does he have the right? So it's a matter of convenience. Justice is a matter of convenience. So we are quick to pick out at the authority, at the law, at the legal system. But do we pick out against our own selves? The Quran says, وَلَوْ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِكُمْ, even though this way to go against your own self, you stand on the balance of justice, be just at all times. كُنُوا قَوَّامِينَ بِالْقِسْطِ. We'll come again to the story, the Miller story. I'll come again just now, right? Just leave a little bit of suspense is good. Right? This is carrying on one story, then it becomes like a story. But the lessons that are coming out, whatever Lubbock is inspiring, his grace, so that has to be shared more than the story, is the lessons that are coming out. And then in this verse, kunu kawamit at all times, kawamin, see, the superlative degree. So at any given time, you need to see, and every Muslim is in charge, because the address is to the general Muslim public, ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu kunu kawamin. It's not directed only to the authority, it's not as the Quran was directing it to the people of authority, it would have said, ya ayyuhal ulil amr. Ulil amr means people in authority, people that are in position, people that have got power. But it's a general command, addressed to the general Muslim, kunu kawamin, stand up for justice, stand out for justice in the time of Shah Jahan, right? Not Shah Jahan, Alamgir, Aurangzeb. These Mughal kings, they may have been a little bit flashy in their ways, right? But they had a very strong sense of justice. They lasted because they had a very, very strong system of justice. About 300-400 years from the time of Babur, right to Alamgir, they ran India. But the system of justice was very profound. And ulama kiram explain that authority and kingdom will remain. It can tolerate disbelief, but it cannot tolerate any injustice. You're carrying on injustice. Allah moves it away from you. Because I've given you authority and wealth, not for you to abuse and insult, but so that you could look after the others, you could take care of them. But now you taking this authority and you insulting, abusing, extorting people, then I'll move it away from you. But if you've got it, you're going to share it with others, you're going to be calm, you're going to be compassionate and loving, then I'll give it to you because you are sharing it with others. But if it is only for your own comfort, you're self-centered, then you're not for others, then why must I keep it with you? So in this time of Alamgir Rahmatullah Ali, there was a complaint now that in this mall, had a big mall, big street, they're doing business. There's always some fight, some feud, some dispute, always they come into court, you know. So initially the courts tried to handle it, but they saw it's going out of hand and it's too much, so they brought it to the king. This is going on for some time. Alamgir Rahmatullahi called 10 businessmen from this end of the street and 10 businessmen from the opposite end. Called them and verified that this happened in their presence. He lashed all of them, 3-3 cuts. What businessman now? Imagine he's a tiger now, 50 shops he's got. He's called in public, 3 shots. He's got a rice mill now. Rice mill. You know, millions of tons of rice he's got. In front of everybody came 3 cuts. He's got an oil industry, right? In front of everybody got 3 cuts. Everything all gone. Now, look at the consequence. You see, a king now, he's got sight, he's got vision. He doesn't look at the short term only, he looks with vision. Now, in that end of the street where there was always dispute, now what happened? If anybody just raised his voice slightly, 10 people will come from this side, 10 people, bhai, khuda ke liye tum khamosh raho, tum shor machayenge aur hum bhuk denge. For the sake of Allah Ta'ala, bhai, just maintain your cool. You will make that noise and you will scream and we're going to catch it here. So there were 10 people from either side to maintain justice. See, this is justice. So everybody has got that ability. He's got that ability to maintain justice. But then we say, no, it's the work of the law, this legal system, they corrupt. So we quick to point fingers. But what we do, what are we doing to maintain justice? Kunu kawamin. Walau ala anfusikum awil walidayni wal aqrabin. Even though it's going against your own interest, against the interest of your parents, against the interest of your family, your friend, you are more concerned about your relationship than the relationship with Allah Ta'ala. His relationship, you don't want it to be severed. But you're severing in the process, you're severing the relationship with Allah Ta'ala because you're breaking His command. That you can tolerate, this you can't tolerate. كونوا قوامين بالقسط شهداء لله ولو على أنفسكم أو الوالدين والأقربين. At any given time, any point. But I say, within your capacity, what you can do, how much you can do, you do that much. Someone came now, he's holding that person at gunpoint. You know you're unarmed, you can't do anything about it. Now you won't say that you're being unjust. Will you say that you're being unjust? No. I don't have that ability. So sometimes in certain situations, the legal system is over you. You can't do much about it. But then at least you support the right. You speak about the right, talk about it. At some point, you're showing a disapproval, this is not right. It will get into the ears of someone. And like evil is contagious, then good is also contagious. Good will also spread. But are you talking about it, or you remain absolutely silent? Someone is cashing in, someone is getting oppressed, someone is getting hurt. I'm not concerned. So long as my coffers are, my business is running well, I mustn't be concerned about the rest. كونوا قوامين بالقسط شهداء لله. Only for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, not for any type of material remuneration, no material advantage, just for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. Talking of the Jibillah, right? Now he's in a fix now. He slapped the villager, person living in a jundol, he even slapped him. He thought now this person got no status, no social status. I can push him, you know, I can move him, I can do things. But it's the time of Umar radiallahu anhu. A man, a Tabi says, I saw Umar radiallahu anhu reading namaz, and I counted 21 patches on his clothing. Right. But the man with 21 patches is shaking the hearts of the Roman and the Persian Empire. See, the justice, the righteousness, the virtue is that counts. These things don't count. Here, this thing don't count. We feel like it's an imagination that it counts. It's got 20, the man is saying, I counted in his entire clothing 21 patches. And all different colors, you know. One different color here, different color here. And that's the Amirul Mu'min. And yet, he shakes the hearts of the non-Muslim. What was it? The justice, that righteousness, that virtue. Nobody could show his strength. Like I would say, wag his tail. He can't do it. The weakest will feel the strongest in his presence, and the mightiest will feel the weakest in his presence. That because of my strength, because of my money, my wealth, and I will do things as I want, can't do it. Unfortunately, this is how it's gone. See where we went off. One is that we forgot the concept of continuity and akhirat. The second is the goal has become wealth. So one is business and your goal is the wealth, right? Even the people that are practicing law, in spite of them writing without prejudice, right? But they get a client, what is going to be the major concern? The major concern is two things. One is I must stretch the thing, so I make money out of this. And number two is I must pretend if I'm Muslim, I must pretend, make it appear as though my client is right. But if you're practicing law, right, after some years, you will know, you'll have that experience that this person is wrong. But now, you can't let the person go. You can let the person go, you're going to lose business. So you have to pretend that your client is right. Now, Allah Pak, does he know it or not? وَإِن تَلْوَوْ تُعْرِدُ Allah Pak says, you're pretending that your client is right. So if you are distorting information, or you decline from the cause of justice, remember there is someone that is acquainted with everything. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ خَبِيرٌ He knows everything. What you're concealing, what you're exposing, how you're pretending, all nothing can be concealed. So the second thing that is drifting us and shifting us away from the cause of justice is we don't have the consciousness and the awareness of Allah Ta'ala that is all seeing. He's all aware. He's fully acquainted. Not only with what's happening, the apparent was being concealed in the heart and the mind. He knows about it. So how are we going to get away? You get attorneys coming up here sometimes. You know, I ask them, all right, you've got a case, you know it's not right. What will you do? So no, I'll load my fees, I will just stretch the case. So it's not justice that he's fighting for. What he's fighting for? For money. So the other person is fighting for money. So is he fighting for the cause of justice? Now we know it. We are going to these people. Yeah, we know it in our minds that they also, they are money orientated. They just commercialized. We know it. And they will, the way they will rig the case, the way they'll make the case up, that they will show that you are right. Allah yazunnu ulaika annahum mab'uthun. Don't they realize that they're going to stand before Allah Ta'ala? Don't they realize this? So this concept of standing before Allah Ta'ala is deleted from their minds. The concept of that kana bima ta'amaluna khabira, Allah Ta'ala is fully acquainted, is of the mind. Well, I worked the case out and see my client was right. Yes, you can hide away from people. Yastaghfuna minan nas. وَلَا يَسْتَغْفُونَ مِنَ اللَّهِ You can conceal things from people. But can you conceal and hide away things from Allah Ta'ala? يَسْتَغْفُونَ See how clear the verse is. يَسْتَغْفُونَ مِنَ النَّاسِ You're trying to conceal and hide away things from people. But can you conceal things from Allah Ta'ala? وَهُوَ مَعَهُمْ As Allah Ta'ala is with you all the time. Can't conceal. Anyway, this person now, ordinary person, peasant, casual laborer, toko boy, he comes to Umar radiallahu anhu, complains about the king of the time. Power, wealth, influence, affluence, everything he's got. This man has got the right to complain about the highest authority at the time. That this man, in the tawaf, he slapped me. And see the mark here on my face. So he's called him. So he asked him, are you guilty of this? Yes, I did this. So there's an admission of guilt, right? In Islamic court of law, right? Either there's an admission of guilt or there are witnesses to prove. The crime is proven. A case gets proven. How it gets proven? Either admission. The criminal admits that I am guilty of this. Or there are proofs to prove that this thing is like how he's claiming. So there's an admission. But Umar rules then the law of equality must prevail. You slapped him, he's got the right to slap you equally as you slapped him. Oh, this man's brains are not working. A small toko boy here, I got millions of these people under me, and he's going to give me a slap. And what will be left of my reputation, my respect? What will be left? You see, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu is not worried about his Islam. He's not worried about the wealth. He's not worried about the thousands of followers that came with him into Islam. He's not worried about that. You've got an equal standing as the peasant, as the person that is looked down upon, as a person who's got no social standing. You and him are both identical in the eyes of the law. So this is what is meant, that Islam or Allah Pak will tolerate disbelief, but he will not tolerate injustice, no matter who it is, but he will not tolerate it. No matter what it is, by you committed a wrong, you go and get it right. Look at another king of India, Muhammad bin Taghlik, right? A non-Muslim Hindu comes up to the court at the time of Muhammad bin Taghlik, that is the king. This person comes up and he complains that Muhammad bin Taghlik, he has lashed me, he has whooped me. Well, the king, at that time the king was very powerful, this undivided India. Undivided India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, all is India, right? And an ordinary Hindu youngster comes and complains about Muhammad Taghlik. Okay, this is what he done, he whooped me. So there's a proceeding, you follow the procedure. You're a king or whoever, but you follow the proceeding. He's got a claim against you. He established the claim, the king was found guilty. When the king was found guilty, so the court ruled that this youngster got the right to whoop him to the extent that he was whooped. So the youngster asked him to bend down. He bent him over and he whooped him. 21 shots he gave. He says he whooped him till he felt that pain, that he jumped and his topi, turban, everything fell down. But the court did not show any clemency. Why? You did this, so you pay for it. And I say it's easier to pay for it here in this world than paying for it in the hereafter. Then you pay with the fire there. And here, alright, 1-2 shots you got. There was a little bit of disgrace and embarrassment, but you went through it. And in time to come, you'll speak in praise of Muhammad Taghlik, that being such a powerful king, but he allowed the justice to prevail. He didn't look at wealth, he didn't look at his reputation, he didn't look at anything. justice must prevail. Won't we talk about him with respect? So anyway, this Jibrillah is thinking, you know, my reputation, my respect, what's going to happen to me? So he says, alright, Islam, does it offer settlement out of court? Yes, Islam allows it. But that is provided the claimant also in the agreement. Alright, give me one day to think about it and we will settle something. The claimant is happy, alright, we'll settle something. But now it was too much for the ego of this king. I'm so magnificent, so powerful, what a person I am. You know. And I have to go and plead with this ordinary casual labor. I must go and talk to, and plead to him like this. It was too much for him. He turned apostate. With thousands of his people, he turned away from Makkah Mukarramah, back to his land. Turned away. But Umar is not upset in the least. By you accepting Islam is a feather in your cap, not to the cap of Islam. It's a feather on your cap. It's an honor to you. It's an integrity to you, not to Islam. Islam has honored you. You haven't honored Islam. Islam is totally independent. Islam has honored you that it ushered you into its parameters. It ushered you into its lounge. It ushered you into its mansion and palace. So you didn't do a favor to Islam. Islam has done you a favor. But you don't like the system. You don't like the system. It's a bad luck that you don't like the system. But we will not bend the law for you, no matter who you are. So this justice and how much Islam doesn't emphasize. In the Quran Sharif, Allah speaks, لِيَقُومَ النَّاسُ بِالْقِسْطِ. We have sent this entire series of Anbiya alayhi salam, right? And then with the Anbiya alayhi salam, أَنزَلْنَا مَعَهُمُ الْكِتَابُ وَالْمِيزَانِ. We sent the divine scriptures. Right? We sent the Anbiya, then we sent divine scriptures. لِيَقُومَ النَّاسُ بِالْقِسْطِ. So this whole silsila started off what? The people may maintain justice. So justice can only be maintained, peace can only prevail if justice is maintained. But if you don't maintain justice, can there be any person that can enjoy peace? I ask you. Just look at it, a case example, right? Saudi Arabia, right? We will not say that it's fully Islamic, right? But the Islam that they're practicing, you will honor that. You will respect them, appreciate them for the level of Islam that they are practicing. Where credit is due, we will give it. We may have some differences about some other issues, but in principle, they've got some Islamic law in them. They've got some sense, some type of consciousness and awareness of Islam. Right? Now, on account of the Islamic awareness, they got the amputating of the arm. Right? Now, be it as it may, kuffar may say whatever they want to say, but because of that fear that your hand is going to be amputated and that this is going to be publicized, the whole world is going to see it. Whichever way, but they're going to see it. Right. Millions of people's lives are saved. Their wealth is saved. Their integrity is respected. There's total harmony. Man with a shop right in front of the Haram Sharif where thousands of people are coming one side to the other. But at namaz time, for 1 hour, 1.5 hours, you can just put a veil over a chadar, ordinary chadar over his shop. He's got a jewelry shop. Millions and millions he's got there. But he can just put a parda over his shop and he can attend namaz without any fear. What is it? So the law of Allah Ta'ala cannot be replaced. If you're going to try to replace the law of Allah Ta'ala, you'll try and patch it up here, patch it up here, patch up there. But it's going to break. So the only way is by you can't substitute, you can't replace the law of Allah Ta'ala. Just keep that. And that will save your life, your integrity, your wealth and everything else.